Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out at Grace Ranch in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
This is the day.
This is the day
that the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
I will rejoice.
I will rejoice. Be glad in it.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day.
This is the day
that the Lord has made. This is the day.
This is the day
that the Lord has made.
That the Lord has.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Lord, we come before you and we humble ourselves, Lord, and we ask that you give us your message for this day, that you open our hearts and you open our minds and you give us the understanding so that we may do your works, so that we may correct our faults, so that we may walk as you would have us walk, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And let's see here. I'm going to turn over to James. I'm going to start at verse 1 of chapter 4. From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Why do you desire what you ask of the Lord? What is the reason? Is it for your own gain? So that you can do things that you want to do? Or are you asking so that you may honor the Lord and do His works? It's where people, and especially in a lot of the churches, have it backwards. Because they'll tell you, if you pray for it, rejoice because you'll receive it. They forget to tell you that's if you're asking for the correct thing or for the correct item so that you can do the works of Jesus Christ. So many times I've prayed for things that would do nothing but lead me straight to a path for hell. Because it had nothing to do with the Lord. It had everything to do with me. People pray for healings. Yet when the Lord heals them, what are they going to do for Him? Are they going to go out, being they're healed, and change what they've been doing for all the years in the past, and go out and do His work? Or do they want a healing so they can just turn around and keep doing what they were doing before? Financial prayers. Are you going to do what the Lord has called and shown you to do? Or are you going to use it to fuel lusts and other things, basically so you can just go out and do what the world wants done? If you ask the Lord to fulfill something in your life, and it will sit there and allow Him to be glorified, that will allow you to do His works. Whether it be to go out and preach the gospel or to help somebody see their need in their life, or just to be able to go out on the road wherever you happen to might be going and give His word out to those that you come in contact with. Or is it so you can go run to Disneyland and play all day? Is it to go out and buy the new fancy toy that they had on TV? It's the reason behind it that determines whether the Lord is going to honor that prayer and answer it yes, or give you the answer no. Because if you are His, He knows what is best for you. He knows where your interests lie. He knows where your focus is. And he's not going to honor what you ask if your focus is not on him. Why would he? Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. He is not going to do anything for you that is going to allow you to continue to sin. And let's face it, a lot of times things we pray for, if they were answered, would do just that. Jesus Christ is a righteous God. He is God. And he loves each and every one of us and only wants the best for us. And all he asks in return is for you to be a good and faithful servant, to go out and do as he has commanded us to do, which is to spread the gospel. Amen.
Good morning to you that are here. Good afternoon to those that are on the East Coast. I want to tell you a story. I knew a woman preacher one time who came up to my altar call for prayer. And when I asked her what she wanted me to pray for, she came up with something I've heard many times before. It's called private intentions. I've heard that in Pentecostal churches for years, and I don't know about Baptist or Methodist or anything like that, but in Pentecostal churches, people would come up and they'd ask for prayer, and you'd ask them what for, and what private intentions. And normally the preachers would pray, and because they did, I figured I should too. So I almost got ready to pray, and the Lord stopped me. And in a flash, he showed me her husband walking home from work or to get his car. And there was railroad track. And her intention, private intention, was for him not to see the train when it came and get run over, so she'd be free to go do what she wanted to do. There's no way I was going to pray for that. Amen? Yeah. Imagine how surprised she was when I told her, Joanne, you want me to pray for God to kill your husband so you're free to go do what you want? Needless to say, she got a little upset, a little shook up, but she confessed that that was what her private intention was. So I start off with that story just to let you people know that sometimes people want prayers for stuff that you don't want nothing to do with. And if they can't tell you what it is they want you to pray about, you don't need to pray about it. Another little story. I knew a guy named Jack Webb, not the actor. He was part of our ministry years ago, and he got all upset and been out of shape when I did a teaching on tithing. No, you left the ministry. You weren't going to tithe. You didn't have to tithe. That was Old Testament. It's his money. Okay. So I met old Jack one day, walking down the street. Jack, what happened to your car? Oh, it broke. Well, let me take you home. I don't live there anymore. Why not? They took my house. Oh. So where are you staying now? He said, Mom, a little old lady down here let me stay in her back room. I said, well, that's nice. That was the last time you had anything to eat. It's been a while. I said, well, let's go get something to eat. So I took him out to one of my favorite places at the time, which was Waffle House. And we were sitting there and talking and eating. And I said, tell me, Jack, you left because you didn't want to tithe. Is that right? Yeah, that's pretty much it. Do you find it kind of curious that everything dried up immediately after that? Well, I have wondered about it. You haven't wondered about it, Jack. You know why it is. You just don't want to admit it. I mean, I want to do something. I want to step out here and do something for you. How much money do you have on you? Well, I probably got about a dollar and some change. I said, give it to me. He said, what? I said, give it to me. Every dime, every penny, give it to me. And I will forgive you, in the name of the Lord, your debt. Wipe it clean. And you can start over. He thought about it for a minute. He didn't have anything to lose, right? So he dug in, gave me the money he had. I prayed over it, forgave his debt. We walked outside after I paid the bill. We walked outside, didn't get halfway across the parking lot. A piece of paper blew by us, and he reached out and grabbed it. It was a $100 bill. I said, well, praise the Lord, Jack. Now the Lord's giving you something you can start moving with. So we went on down the road. And this guy comes running out of his house, waving his arms. And I stopped. He said, Jack, you gave me a bid on my house a while back. I want you to do it. When can you start? Jack said, well, I could start tomorrow. All right. See you tomorrow. Jack said, man, that's unreal. He said, I said, why is that? He said, I quoted the guy at least $2,000 high. Because I didn't want the job. Well, praise the Lord. Now you got it. I said, here's the deal, Jack. This is your chance. God will put you back on your feet. He'll restore what you've lost. You got to do it his way. You've got to tithe to his ministers. Give offerings to his work. And alms to the poor. And if you don't want to do that, you'll find yourself right back where you were. So I let him out. The next day I ride back. Here's Jack. Now you talk about a guy resourceful. He called a cab. And he got this cab loaded down with ladders and buckets and paint and blankets and stuff. Pulling up to this guy's front yard, he's unloading the cab. Cab driver probably thought he was nuts. Jack did the job. A few days after they did the job, he gives me a call. He says, "Brother Richard, I got a problem." "What's your problem?" He said, "I got the tithe money here." I said, "That's not a problem. But this guy's got a van for sale. And if I buy the van, I'll be short on the tithe." I said, "Well, you know what you do. But I gotta have the van." I said, "You gotta have that tithe more." "You do whatever you think is right." So he went and bought the van. He'd driven it the day before, and it ran fine. Everything was perfect. He's going home with it. He's all happy. And the engine blows up. So he calls me up, and he says, "What do I do?" I said, "Make right your tithe." "But I can't do that. It's all tied up in the van." I said, "Yeah, well, it looks like that's all there is in that van, isn't it?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Would you take the van as a tithe?" I said, "Yeah, I'll take the van." So I went over and had it towed back over to my place, not knowing what in the world I was going to do about it. And guy down the end of the road that I'd been ministering to some calls me up and said, "What's that man doing out front?" I said, "Sitting there looking stupid with a blown engine." He said, "Well, that's not going to do you any good like that." I said, "You think?" He said, "Well, why don't we get down here to my place and I'll rebuild that engine for you?" I said, "Well, I don't have the money for that." He said, "That ain't no problem. I'll just do it for you." Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. See, I'd been praying about a van that I could go off into Maryland and do some ministering with. You saw that van, didn't you? What has this got to do with anything? Well, you heard the scriptures that Bob was reading. And you heard what Bob had to say. Amen? One more little story. There was a guy. He used to come on Blog TV all the time. And he'd always ask me to pray for him to be healed. He'd had all kinds of people praying for him to be healed. He was a boat captain at one time. Captain of a boat, a ship. He loved that work. And he got this disease or whatever. He couldn't do it anymore. So I asked him, I said, "Why you want to get healed?" He said, "So I can go back to being a boat captain." I said, "So you want to call yourself a Christian? You want to serve God? When are you going to do that? You don't need to be healed to serve God. But if you are healed, are you going to serve God or go back to being a boat captain?" He's back to being a boat captain. "Good luck. Let me know how it works out." He got mad at me. Wouldn't talk to me anymore. You ever stop to think of how God looks at things like that? When you call yourself a Christian, you've heard it saying, "Take not the Lord thy God's name in vain." It's one of the commandments, isn't it? "Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain." Well, just about everywhere you go, they'll tell you that means, if you say, "God damn it," that's taking the Lord's name in vain. No, that's not taking his name in vain. That's asking God to damn whatever it is you're talking about. either by using God as a name or the implication of that damn thing. That implication is God's already damned it. If God's already damned it, what do you want it for anyway? Personally, I don't want any damn thing. Amen? If I want something, I want a blessed thing. And if it's a damn thing, I want to get it undamned. Get some blessing on it. So anyway, how's God look at it? When you, as a woman, take a husband, you usually take his name. Is that right? Usually. You got some rebellious witches out there that won't do it. Maggots, they are. I ain't naming no names. I'm just talking bugworms. That's what I'm talking about. You love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
But if you love your husband, you take his name. Now, if he finds you sleeping with other men, what'd you do? You took his name in vain. Right? All right, let's look at the next verse that Bob did not read. Verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So if you will be a friend to the world, that is, seek to please the world, seek to make people happy in the world, to make you look better, or whatever, you have taken the Lord's name in vain. Because if you are a believer, you say, I am a Christian. Amen?
Amen?
And that means you've taken his name, Christ. Jesus being the first name, Christ being the second name, right? So what's up with this? If all you care about is worldly things and all you care about is serving your flesh and all you care about is wanting God to serve you and do for you what you want so you can live in the world and enjoy the world, then as far as God's concerned, you're an adulterer or an adulteress. Does that mean you can't have a job and earn money and take care of your family? Of course not. It's a commandment of God to take care of your family. But what do you do with the abundance that's left over? Do you seek out ways to serve God? Do you tithe to his ministers? Do you make sure his preachers have what they need? To those that are teaching and serving you in the Word, what are you doing about that? If all you're concerned about it is your own self and having fun in the world, then you are an adulterer or adulteress. Isn't that simple enough? I know there's some people out there that would just love to hear this message. Like, well, preacher, whatever happened to that? What that other preacher says is, God is on your side. Yeah, right.
God is on your side. No, you're supposed to be on his side. And when you're on God's side, the two of you are together, you're one, and you're walking together. Amen? If you're not walking with him, he ain't going to follow you. It's not a matter of God following you. It's a matter of you following God. Amen. Somebody asked Dwight D. Eisenhower back during the war, World War II, what was his secret getting men to follow him? And Eisenhower basically was probably the last guy on the earth that you'd ever expect to be put in a position he was in, because he was not a combat general. He did not have a lot of experience in combat. As far as I'm concerned, some of the decisions he made proved it. But he was good at logistics and moving stuff around and getting stuff where it needed to be. He was pretty good at that. But at any rate, he took a string and he put it on the map table. And he said, most officers do this with their men. And he put his finger on the end of the string and he pushed it. And it got all jumbled up. My secret is, and he put his finger on the other end of the string and just split it off away. Just go do what you have to do, the others will follow. See, you can't push God into a situation where he's going to do your will. Amen?
Amen.
But if you can change your will to be his will, then you will follow him, and you will be with him, and he will be with you, and all the things that you need for you and your family, you will have in its due season. Amen. That's all I got to say.
Cheer. Praise you, Jesus. That's a good song right there. As kind of a picking up where Brother Davey left off. Who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. It was interesting. If you listen to the songs we sang first thing this morning, we sang a song, This is the Day That the Lord Has Made. We sang a song, Build Your House on the Rock. And there's a third. What was the other one? That was the third. What was the second one then?
This is the day.
Come, that's right. Come, now is the time to worship. It's interesting. In each of those songs, and if you look at it, it's in each of those songs, it comes down to a decision you have to make that nobody can make for you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Many days, what I see is it seems like people just kind of, I don't know how to describe it. They seem to get through a day. The day kind of overtakes and dictates to them rather than them embracing the Lord in that day. During the conference, I think it was Brother Davey who brought it up, maybe right at the beginning of the conference. He brought up that scripture over in Romans 8:28, or it came up periodically where it says, actually I'll read it just so I get it correct, because otherwise I'm likely to get it wrong, but it says, and we know. First of all, that's a decision to know a thing. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Isn't that a lot of what he was just talking about? God's purpose rather than our purpose. And knowing a thing, we know that all things work together to good, is a place of standing in faith in the Lord and his ability to work in and through the things that are going on in your life. And see, when you embrace that, when you decide to embrace that, whether it be this is the day that the Lord hath made, and determining that, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. I submit myself unto you, Lord, this day and all that you have in this day for me. And you bring yourself under subjection to him, which is what it is to be one with him, right? You come under subjection to him, not trying to pull him along to what you want to do. What you find is all of a sudden you're not walking after the flesh, but you're walking after the Spirit of God, and there is no condemnation. The stuff of your past that would hold you back from going forward and doing what the Lord would have you today, all of a sudden doesn't hold you back any longer. In fact, you're not even thinking about it. The people, the things that are set before you, by contrast, the things that are before you, that's what you're focused on. And because that's what you're focused on in the Lord, he opens up unto you what to do in those situations. But you have to embrace, you have to decide to go forward. I know as an attorney, I'll just give you a small example. As an attorney, you know, people always come to me, and they're coming to me, and they got some problem. And, of course, before they start speaking to me, I have no idea what their problem is. And as they start speaking to me, their problem usually gets pretty daggone complicated. And you're thinking, like, oh, my God, how do we deal with this situation? But what I've learned over the years in the Lord is it's an amazing thing. If I'll sit back and I'll listen, and I will pray, and I'll seek him in the midst of the meeting, mind you. I'm not talking about listening to them and then going back. I'm talking about while I'm actually talking with the person and they're telling me their story. It's amazing how the Lord will begin showing me the way out. It's like it begins immediately. It's an amazing thing. And if they will follow that way out as I lay it out to them, it's amazing how things turn around. I mean, I know, Corey, you found that. And I wasn't even your lawyer in the thing, but you found the Lord, at every step, once you decided to go forward in this, the Lord provided a mighty deliverance to you. And one of the keys in there was, kind of like the guy who was the ship's captain, is, all right, you want God to do this for you. What are you going to do for him? Right? Are you going to dedicate your life to him? Are you going to submit yourself unto him? And Corey, while we were out there in South Carolina, not while we were out here at the ranch still, but while we were in South Carolina, after making a great impression on everybody upon his arrival, made that decision. And by the time he left, you know what? People had a very different opinion of Corey. And they were sad to see him go. He had been a blessing to them. But that element, I just want you to know, the choice is yours. Come, now is the time to worship. When you come in here and we have this team up here and they start leading you in worship, right? Isn't that what it is? They're leading you in worship. Do you follow? Do you come? Do you embrace that promise of God that he inhabits the praises of his people? Do you get yourself focused in that place and determine you're not going to be left behind in any good thing that he has for you? And you, no matter what it was that was going on before you got into that place, you are going to give yourself wholly, that means 100% fully, unto joining in that worship? Or are you going to go through the motions, which is kind of just making it through the day, versus determining to join, to come just as you are to worship? And then what was that third song you sang?
Build
your house on the rock. That's right. Build your house on the rock. Jesus is the rock. Amen. And this book that we have called the Bible is Jesus in written form. It's the manual for our life in him. So when you build your house on the rock, you determine to follow what he says here. It says, trust in the Lord. So you determine to trust. You know what? You don't ever get tried in trust when everything's going the way you want it to go. The time you get tried in trust is when everything's going away you think really stinks and you don't understand at all and are pretty pissed about it, frankly. That's when the rubber hits the road as to whether you're going to trust God or not. It doesn't hit the road when everything's going your way. It hits the road when everything seems to be coming unraveled and not going your way at all. And how is this going to work out? Refer back to Romans 8:28, right? Which we read. We trust that we know that all things work together to good to them who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And see, if you're going to learn those things and you're going to get into line with his purpose rather than your purpose, you come to that place in the midst where you surrender and you go, all right, Lord, what can I do for you now? What is it that you would have me do now? And the beauty of the Lord, and this is where you find out that it's no formula, there's no formula that can work these things out. Let's give you a small example from this past weekend, well, these last couple days. You know, leading up to the convention and then through the convention and even during the convention, I mentioned how I don't get to spend much time with my family. And I love my family, and I love spending time with them. And one of the things as a father, I know I look back at is the last thing I want my children to ever find is that I'm not available to them. I want God to be available to me, right? When I need something, I want my children to know I'm available to them. At the same time, I can't be with them all the time. If I were with them all the time, I wouldn't be able to do that which the Lord has for me to do. Praise God, he's given me a wife who in my stead is able to do many things that I'm not there to do myself, and other things I would never have even thought of, which are also a blessing, praise God. And so she's there. But the Lord this weekend gave us I knew my son really wanted to go up to see Carlsbad Caverns. And I was in myself, frankly, somewhat conflicted about it, honestly, in different ways. I mean, I love doing that kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong. Anybody who knows me knows I love doing that kind of stuff, right? I mean, that's like, I love doing it. But I don't love doing that more than I love serving the Lord and also being an example to others, including each of you guys who are here before me this morning. And so I was conflicted. I mean, is this something that would be of the Lord? And frankly, I was conflicted all the way up to the point where we left. But before we left, it was interesting. I prayed a simple prayer. I think I prayed it with my children. You guys will remember. We prayed it again yesterday. which was I submitted ourselves unto the Lord and asked that the Lord would move mightily through us, both in ministering to one another and others, but also in receiving that which he had for us, that the fullness of the blessing he had for us to partake of, both in giving and receiving, would be accomplished. And I tell you what, I mean, it was really, every aspect of that trip exceeded my expectations. It was wonderful. And we had a wonderful time. Now, don't get me wrong, there was, I gave my children, they went to eat breakfast with me, and they ate too much sugar, and they were pretty, oh my God. I was like, oh my God, did I make a big mistake? Lord, forgive me. I mean, they were like, they were just bad. You know, I mean, if I could have thrown them in the velt, you know, some kind of room and just put bump, you know, pads on them and let them run around and bang into one another for 2.5 hours, it would have been, probably been perfect, but I didn't have such a thing handy. So I had to call them up short, each of them, on a few occasions as we were getting things in order to be able to go forward in him. And you know what? That's part of my job. It's something that needs to be done. And it's something that needs to be established for their sakes. So even that, with them bouncing off the walls and everything, was a part of the blessing the Lord had for us in it. And we had a great time, didn't we? Except for when Joe was moaning and groaning. There was this little part he was moaning and groaning. And then Joe, when he's moaning and groaning, it's like his whole stature just slumps. And it's like an effort. But the Lord didn't let it go on for but 5 minutes till he heard water running and ran forward to the spring and had a great time there. But, you know, I share this because if you want to serve the Lord, if you want to walk in the fullness of his blessings, that's the choice you make. And if you will make that choice and you will determine that that's what you're going to go after and do, I'll tell you what, you're going to do it. And if you're not doing it, don't look to anybody else. I don't want to hear it. And this is what people do. They, you know, well, I could do that if, or I could do this, but, you got to get that stuff right out of your vocabulary. You just got to get that completely out of your vocabulary. Every excuse. One thing I learned before I ever knew the Lord, and it's proven true as a Christian, every excuse you make is pretty much a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's exactly what's going to happen. Especially when you announce it. Yeah, you announce it. You think the devil's like not paying attention? Yeah, he's not paying attention. So you announce that this weakness or this area. So what happens as you go forward? It just seems like, oh, like that's exactly what I thought was going to happen. I didn't think I'd have the strength to do this. I didn't think I'd have that to do it. I'm not smart enough. Whatever it is you come up with, all of a sudden that's exactly what happens. And then you go home dejected, sad, and miserable. When none of that had to happen. It happened because you gave it place to happen. And then you just think people don't understand. And it gets more miserable as you do that, because now, of course, there's no way out. Well, doesn't the scripture say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? All right, what are you going to believe? You're going to believe the nonsense stupidity that has kept you in bondage and depression and every other thing? Or are you going to believe Jesus Christ? If you're going to believe Jesus Christ, then believe him and get on with it. And right today, right now, right where you are, before you depart from this place, you can choose to believe Jesus. Amen. And to let the nonsense go. And you do that, he'll honor it, and he'll bless you, and he'll guide and direct and keep you. And as that happens, that guidance and direction sometimes comes in the form of somebody like me, or somebody like Davey, or somebody else that the Lord may use to show you, give you a little guidance and direction. When you need guidance and direction, it usually means that the direction and guidance you were following was the wrong guidance and direction. Oh, well, it happens. So you yield to the new guidance and direction. It's all it is. That's all it is. It's not a big deal. It's not some great mystery. And as you yield to that, the Lord will bless you in it. And as you get blessed in it, you want more of that. Praise God. Don't we want more of Jesus in our lives?
Amen.
So if we want that, get over yourself. Get over the past stupidities. Get over your wrongness. Hello? Is there any, if we were always right, would Jesus have had to die? Absolutely not. So, praise God. We're stupid. Why do you think he calls us sheep? Sheep aren't the smartest animals in the animal kingdom. But the one thing they know how to do is follow their shepherd. That's all we need to know how to do. Amen.
Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
bold,
be strong,
for the Lord our God is with thee.
Be bold,
be strong,
for the Lord our God is with thee.
I am not afraid, no way. I am not dismayed, no way. 'Cause I'm walking in faith and victory. Gonna walk in faith and victory. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold,
be bold,
be strong,
be strong.
For the Lord our God is with thee. Be bold,
be bold,
be strong,
be strong.
For the Lord our God is with thee. I am not afraid. No way. I am not dismayed. No way. 'Cause I'm walking in faith and victory. Gonna walk in faith and victory. I am not afraid. No way. I am not dismayed. No way. 'Cause I'm walking in faith and victory. Gonna walk in faith and victory. For the Lord my God is with me.
Father, we thank you very much for this day. We can't change what's gone before, but we can change what goes forward from here. And I ask, Lord, that you would help each and every one listening to this message, Lord, to let the past just go. Just let it roll off, Lord, and let us set our faces like flint to serve you and to go forward in your word and submit ourselves unto your purpose in each of our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Every praise.
Every praise is to our
every
God.
Word of worship.
Every word of worship in one
accord. Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Glory, hallelujah, to our God.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise,
every praise is to our God.
Every praise,
every praise is to our
every
God.
Word
every word of worship in one accord.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise
is to our God.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.